Welcome to Celebration Community Church's Sunday Sermon Series. Celebration is located in San Jose, California. We would love to have you join us on Sunday morning. Find out more at www.celebratejesus.net or call our office at 408-225-1000. Now, enjoy the message.
Even God's people, if that were possible. 1 Peter 5:8-9, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. Ephesians 6:10-11, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say, be strong in yourself. Be strong. How many of you know that you can be weak in yourself and strong in the Lord? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Father, we recognize by just walking through the week of seeing that there is a major, major uprising in the spiritual realm. And we recognize, Father, that we are not ignorant. We are aware of what's going on, and we take our position to know, to understand, and then to defeat the powers of hell. Thank you, Lord, that the victory is yours. The victory is yours, and you have given it to us. So, Lord, we ask that you'd open our ears, give us ears to hear what you would say to us personally, and we thank you that you're going to do that because we ask it in faith, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. We are on. This whole season of calling the church together with grace and mercy. And we saw that, again, in the bottom line, God needs us. You want to hear some interesting things? I don't listen for these particular picadillos, but I was listening to the news on something, and there is a, what's the name of the town? Santa Monica? Yeah, Santa Monica College now offers a course in, they call it eco-sexuality. Eco-sexuality. Remember I said, from what I understand, if you look on Facebook, there's 58 responses of how you define yourself. And I don't know if you're involved with Facebook. I'm not involved with Facebook. I don't have time for it. But a lot of other people are. But you can literally look at and find all these, remember as I said last week when there was only two, male and female? 58 descriptions. Well, in this particular, now there's a new one now I call ecosexuality. And they offer a course in, I got to get this right, where you can marry the ocean. Did you hear about that? You can marry the ocean. And you know, it's so sad that it's funny that the college students, and then you consummate your marriage by sticking your foot in the water. And in this course, there is coming together with one in nature and hugging trees, but you have to ask the tree's permission first. Who do you think's paying for this stuff?
We are.
And as I said, if it wasn't so sad, it'd be funny. But again, understanding the whole purpose for all of this is to tear down any structures that God has established. Now you could, I'm saying, one of these days you're going to be able to marry your cat or your dog. Because if you can marry the ocean, you can marry anything, right? But you see, it's all funny to those who don't understand what's going on. And we are not ignorant of the enemy's devices. And I'm sure a bunch of demons were sitting down and say, why don't we try this? See if they're stupid enough to do this. Let's go out and let them marry the ocean. And I heard it in the background. I mean, it was just people were just saying prayers to the ocean. I consummate my love for you. You believe that? We're not in Kansas anymore. We are at a place where nothing is defined the way it was. And everything is being redefined. And that's why it's so very important that we understand this process. The Lord is preparing us for that release. And that's what I'm excited about, and I want you to be excited about, because when you see these things going on, it's like the scriptures that I read. Be aware that there's going to be a lot of Christians that are laughing at this. There's going to be a lot of Christians that say, what's the big deal? They're not bothering us. There's going to be a lot of Christians that say, I have the foggiest idea what's going on. And what God is telling us, that that's the negative side. The positive side is God says that in those times, what's going to happen is he's going to pour out his spirit. And there's going to be a rising up. Let me tell you, you think marriages are under attack now. You wait till you see. Well, we're seeing the unfolding of what's happening where everything is permissible. And again, what I'm saying is the positive side of this for Christians, this is not bad news, this is good news. That when there's darkness, that's when God pours out his brightness. And we are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. In this process here, we've been looking at the essentials for ministry. We understand the anointing. This means the power of his might, being strong in the Lord, to stand against the enemy's schemes. We are literally put on this earth to stop the powers of hell. Amen?
Amen.
Turn to somebody and say, he's talking to you. To stop the powers of hell. We've been looking at how to release your anointing in ministry. Also, we said, and this is so important, again, it's a great revelation that I received this year, and it seems so obvious, but when you recognize that our destiny is wrapped up in our calling and our ministry, you're serving God, being outside in the world, standing against the powers of darkness, is part of your ministry and part of your destiny. Your destiny is wrapped up in serving the Lord. And if we miss that, then we're missing our destiny. Because God, what he does, he brings in everything that we can't do. That's wonderful to know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in that situation where you may be at work or in your married situation, those listening online, where there's struggle and contention and all kinds of things, God says, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. I also found out there's a lot of people who just like being miserable. Right? They don't want to have to hear any of this stuff because it means they have to apply it. And the Lord says, what I want you to do is to live in that victory that I've given to you, that truly, with me, all things are possible. How many people believe that? With him, all things are possible. And if he's put things in your heart to believe him for, that you can't even see for a moment how that's going to happen. It's not about the way you see things, it's the way he sees things. That's really good news, folks. So somebody smile at me here. If we could bottle that stuff, we'd make a fortune. We looked at how to release the anointing and minister to others. I said very important in these days, and I can't go back over it, that there is going to be the removal of every part of structure. The reformatting and reformulating of the principles in which this nation was built, a cultural restructuring, and it's called tolerance. And if you're not acquiescing to what is being thrown out there, you are intolerant. The only thing worse than that is being called a racist if you disagree with anything that's of another color, another nationality, a hater. And all of this is to get us to conform to something that we stand for. I'm not a racist. But if I have anything, if I disagree with our president, I'm a racist. If I disagree with some of the things the first thing is, I'm called a racist. And nobody wants to be called a racist. I grew up in the Army. And I'll tell you, there's nothing more, no organization that's more culturally diverse. My mind is faster than my mouth. There's no other place. There's no race there. But what we're doing, if we come against anything, the minorities are outdoing the majorities. So we're being forced to set down our standards, what we believe in, to accept what is being forced upon us by a very, very small percentage of the population. And frog in the kettle, folks. Eventually, it begins to bubble, and the frog goes. And that's why the Lord says, the word says, don't be ignorant of the enemy's devices. We've been looking at defining the powers of the enemy in the end times through your ministry. We call it spiritual warfare. In that process, we began the series, how to deal in spiritual warfare in our lives personally and also with others. Our weapons, as we know, the name of Jesus, you don't have to be some spiritual hotshot to use the name of Jesus. He gave us permission. You don't have to know all the scripture verses, whatever, to say, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I am victorious in this situation. You don't have to be a theologian to be able to speak a couple verses of the Word of God that God's put in your heart for. These weapons that we have are mighty, it says. For what? For the pulling down of strongholds and everything that it would exalt itself against the knowledge of God. And if you don't use your sword, let me tell you something, you're going to get clobbered, and we have been clobbered by all of the things that we stand for are being literally neutralized. And the Lord's saying to the church, rise up, bride. Rise up. Be aware. And in that position, like the 10 virgins, that there were those who were waiting for the bridegroom to come, and their lamps were filled with what? Oil. And they're waiting to be invited in to the marriage ceremony. There were other virgins that let the oil lamps go dry. And an oil lamp that does not have oil in it cannot produce fire, light. So why did he tell that story? He said the reason we told the story was be ready for the bridegroom's return. And fill your pots with oil. What is oil a type of? The Holy Spirit. Don't let your oil lamp run out of oil, because you will not be able to produce light. And you will not recognize when the bridegroom comes. And there's a lot of Christians, and even a lot of spirit-filled Christians, that have allowed their oil lamps to go dry. And you don't see any life in them. There's no life because you can't produce it outside of the Holy Spirit in filling. Be continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. A miserable Christian is a wonderful tool for the enemy. A powerless Christian is a wonderful tool against the enemy, for the enemy. A powerless church is also a wonderful tool against the enemy. But when we recognize that part of our purpose is to make sure that we are continually being filled with the Spirit, then we also know that in the last days, God is going to pour out His Spirit like we've never seen before. So what we do is, maybe it's up in the oil. Maybe it's a pure, whatever it might be, but it will be in direct proportion to what we're seeing that the enemy tried to throw at us. It'll be greater than that. And when we see what's happening today in the enemy, God says, the bridegroom is getting close. We are the bride. We are the ones that the Lord's coming back with after we have done what God required us to do here on earth. And you know what also happens? It's called the rapture. I am pre-trib. Pre-trib. I believe, and I've taught courses on it. I used to be pan-trib, which means it all pan out. Whatever God wants to do. I believe that the church is going to be taken up. We know that for a fact. When is in dispute. But I think I figured it out. And I taught a course on it. And if you have any questions, you can come see me. But here's something else. Is that when the church is taken up, you know who else goes with it? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The reason why we have the Holy Spirit here on earth is because of us. He's the one. Didn't Jesus say, I'm going to guide and direct your steps? And I'm sending you the Holy Spirit, another comforter. He wasn't sending that to the world. The world doesn't know who the Holy Spirit is. There's many Christians that don't know who the Holy Spirit is. But we understand that He's the most powerful entity in the universe. And He's been given to us to live within us so that we can become those instruments to see the kingdom of God established. And that's why continually being filled with the Spirit of God so we can give out more. And when you're filled with the Spirit, revelation, understanding comes because the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Discernment comes. One of the greatest things that happens in receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where the empowering of the Holy Spirit, you become very sensitive to the powers of hell. You become very, very sensitive to what is not of God. And with that process, we become the ones that literally become the agents through which the powers of the enemy are displaced. That's why many Christians, I'm not putting down the church. I'm just speaking, and these messages have been from a prophetic vent, that ignorance is not bliss. And there's going to be many Christians today filled with the Holy Spirit because we receive the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ, but not using the Holy Spirit or allowing Him to use us. And they're basically being sold a bill of goods. And that's why the Lord is saying, church, bride, it's time to wake up. It's time. I'm getting ready to move. I want you to make sure that you're filled with the Spirit, that your oil lamps are filled, because when I show up, things are going to begin to happen. How many people want to be a part of that? Amen. We looked at how to stop robbery in your life individually, and we looked at we're in the process now of looking how to stop the enemy robbery in others. How to move in the spiritual warfare, and basically that's called ministry. Ministering to other people. Luke chapter 4, verse 16, 21. This is your job description. As a Spirit-filled Christian, this is your job description. And I spoke on it last week, but he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." Everybody say me. "Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying that, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And what that is, I'm saying it to you again today. This scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You have been released to minister like Jesus has ministered. And I've told you before, not all blind people can't see. Not all deaf people can hear. Not all blind people are blind physically. And there are a lot of people that have been, their ears have been deafened because they've been filled with programming, filled with deception, filled with the warm water of the kettle. And what we're hearing is that Christians, many times, they can't hear the Lord anymore. When that happens, all we are is just another big target for the enemy. Turn to somebody and say, "This is good news, folks. You get to be one of the ones that are not being led. We are sheep, not cattle." Amen? Everybody, bah. "I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you bind loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Last week, I ministered on exposing the tactics of the enemy. You can hear that online on our website. We've got incredible number of hits on it. And as I said, what we did is we explained the reasons why there are spiritual attacks. And I gave you a list of why people are either possessed by the enemy or oppressed by the enemy. And we went through the list: the occult, unforgiving spirit, disobedience to the Lord, dependence on outside sources, and incorrect relationship. We also, what I wanted you to do also is to see what the enemy looks like. And what we did is I gave you a bunch of areas. These are demonic manipulations. We're not looking for someone who can spin their head around or levitate. When you see this kind of stuff, that's demonic activity. And it sounds like, and you go back and listen to the message, because I can't go back and to explain it like I did. Anything that is not from God is from the enemy. That's the way it is. There's only two. There's three spirits, and we're in the middle. Which one are we going to serve? And what's happening today is the gray areas are getting less and less and less until eventually it's going to be black and white. And that gray area is not scriptural, by the way, but there's so many Christians that are sort of half-fast Christians. I can't say that too fast. I can at men's retreat. But what happens is we're not allowing, because we're not recognizing, I'll venture to say with this, as we look through, and I can't go through all of them, with the situations, I'm sure you have come across people that are in these categories, that are dealing with all these kind of manifestations. They are manifestations of the enemy, and they're called robbery. So when you see these types of things going on, when you see someone who's living in fear or is living in obsessive personalities or whatever it might be, situations where they're addicted to drugs, that's all from hell. And as I said, the reason I taught this is that a lot of Christians don't know what the enemy looks like. These are the manifestations. And by the way, he does not have a pointed tail. He does not have pointed ears. In fact, what's going to happen in the end times, the enemy is going to be in chains, and the church is going to rock right by him, and we're going to look and say, that's the one that caused all this problem? It's not what we think. It's not scary, woo-woo kind of stuff. He was an angel of light. He was the most beautiful angel that God ever created. He was the one that stood by. He was the choir leader, the worship leader of heaven. No other angel was as beautiful as he was. But what happens with sin in a person's life, that image of God reflection begins to dissipate. And he recognizes the image of God. And he sees it in God's creation, you. And you are a threat to him, and he tries to keep the church ignorant so that he can go about doing his thing, and all we're doing is trying to hang on to the back of the bus. Divorce. Conflicts. Children in rebellion. Reconstituting who we are, silencing the Christian, silencing the response when we honor God. That's all demonic. And we are not to be ignorant. But I also ended last week by the positive side. We have been given power over the enemy. We no longer have to live in robbery. We have been called to set the captive free. Jesus has defeated the powers of the enemy in our lives and through our lives. You have been called to the kingdom for such a time, and Jesus has given us victory over the authority to set the captives free. Someone asked me this past week, what does that mean? What does it mean to be a captive? In prison? Simple. And I said, yes, but not necessarily a physical prison, because you can be in prison and not be in prison. You can be bound to torment and to a person and all of that and have their lives completely restricted. What happens in prison? You are confined into a place where you can't do what you want to do. That's what Jesus said. I have come, and you will do greater works to set the captives free. And there's a lot of dead men walking. And we are not to be ignorant of that. And when we see these things, then we begin, I'm going to share with you, then we begin to understand, God, what is my place? Why are you revealing that to me? I'm seeing this situation in a family or this situation in a person. God, what is my part here? And he may say, pray. He may say, lay hands on. He may say, speak the word of God. He may just say, love them. There's no set rule to how we're going to deal with these things. I'm going to give you some explanations how to deal with your ministry to others in spiritual warfare. Our ministry to others. Now that we know the tactics of the ministry, now our ministry to others. How to move in the spiritual warfare, also known as your ministry, in others. Number one, extremely important, you have to recognize who you are in Christ. If you don't know who you are in Christ, you will not be able to defeat the enemy. It'll take a lot longer. It's like gumming someone to death. I don't know where that came from, but We used to say in seminary, we're not responsible for what we say under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But who you are in Christ. And I've said, and I probably told you before, I watched the enemy when I was ministering against them stand up against me and tried everything I possibly could, mocking, whatever, to see the reason why that they do this is to find out if you really believe this stuff. If you don't believe you can defeat the powers of the enemy, you're going to be defeated or become a POW, prisoner of war. Who you are in Christ. This is who I am, and that's why one of the first things that I say, listen, I know who I am, and I know who you are. Is there resistance? You bet. Is there people that you will deal with that will resist you and you know that they're bound up? You bet. But greater is he that is within you than he that is in them. And in that process, if that compassionate heart of love that Christ placed within us, for us, we go in Jesus' name. We go in Jesus' name to set the captive free. And there's people right now that you know that are bound, that are in prison, that are captives. Your position is to say, Lord, what am I to do? What am I to do? I see my mother, I see my husband, I see my friend, I see my boss, I see my employee. What do I do with this, Lord? It's not like, throw up your hands in despair. Scripture says that we're supposed to come boldly before the throne of grace. And as I said, there's a lot of people, I don't believe that, Pastor. I'm sorry. You know? You cannot believe in gravity and jump off this building. I guarantee you, you're going to bounce. Maybe. I don't know how high. But there's a lot of things that I don't want to believe that. All right. Well, the enemy doesn't go away because you don't believe it. The enemy does not stop in his manipulations. And those manifestations, as I said, they come in despair, discouragement, depression, lack of hope, being tired all the time, exhausted, not being able to come to one of the greatest gifts that God's given to us, and that's the peace of Christ. That factor that only God can give. The enemy can't duplicate it. That peace that says, even though my child was in an accident, God, you have everything under control. Even though right now we may be going through some challenges in our marriage or my child might just going out in a rebellious, God, I have peace that you are going to answer my prayers. I have the peace that says, I'm resting in you, Lord. And you know, the Lord encourages that. When you open up and say, Lord, I just need your peace in this situation, he says, no, you're not getting it. He says, my peace I give to you freely. Not that the world, not as the world gives, but it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And you know that you know that you know. And that's it. In the midst of a storm, I know. The story, Jesus says, we're going to the other side. Get in the boat. And he was exhausted. And he falls asleep in the boat. Well, there's a storm that comes up on Galilee, and those storms are vicious because the wind comes down from Mount Hermon, and it blows. I was in a boat the Sea of Galilee when one of the storms came. And I'll tell you, I almost lost my cookies. But Jesus is sleeping in the boat. And of course, what's happening to the men of God, filled with faith? They're there, They're there screaming and yelling. Jesus is still sleeping. Boats up and down. We're going to all die. Finally, they wake up Jesus. He says, what's the problem? Lord, we're gonna flip over. Look at the storm. I'm sure Jesus rubbed his eyes and went, oy vey. You know what he did? You read the story. He just said, be still to the storm. Be still. I mean, that's cool. Be still. And I'm sure he went back to sleep. And those guys are going, whoa. Lord, we'll never doubt you again. If he can do that, you can do anything. I'll never doubt you again, Lord. He goes back to sleep. Next storm we have, Jesus, do something. You say be still to it. Be still this confusion in my family. Be still this situation in my life. Be still, you spirit of fear. Be still. Demon, the spirit of drugs, of rebellion. You speak to it. Be still in Jesus' name. Turn to somebody and say, you can do that. The next thing, ask for a special anointing. Your uniqueness in Christ qualifies you to move in the supernatural. You have been given permission to make the impossible possible. Ask the Lord. Saturday, I spend the time preparing for, all week long I prepare the message. Then on Saturday, I ask and I pray for you and I pray for an anointing to minister on Sunday morning. That's different than ministering and counseling. When I do counseling, I ask for an anointing. If you ever come to me as counseling, we pray first. I've already prayed, but we want to be in agreement. That's an anointing to be able to do what God called you to do. When you get up in the morning and you're on your way to work, you're saying, Lord, I'm asking for that anointing to be able to do this thing today so that you will be glorified and I don't miss anything and the devil doesn't rob me. You ask for that anointing. It says, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. It doesn't say sometimes ask. And I've had people say, Pastor, what do I need to ask for? He knows what I need before we ask. He even knows before I ask. He knows. That's what Scripture says. So what do I need to ask? Because he wants us to. He wants you. If I walked up to you and say, I want your Prius. And I don't expect you're going to give it to me. What kind of foolishness am I asking for? Right? If you don't expect you're going to get it, it's foolish to ask. So what Lord is saying to So what the Lord is saying to us is, if you don't have faith to ask for it, then you'll not receive it. Don't be like the waves that go in. Oh, Lord, I promise if we get this, I'll tithe and I'll do whatever you want and I'll go to Africa or whatever it might be. And all of a sudden, you get closer to the beach where this commitment needs to start feeling the sand. No. I'm just going to tell you what, God. I'll start off with 2%, right? And maybe I'll go to Milpitas instead of Africa. And you know how we come and when we're facing challenges like that, boy, we're willing to do anything. Lord, just get me out of this thing. I'll go wherever you want, say whatever you want me to say, be whoever you want me to be, and all of a sudden the pressure's off. and I'll catch you later, Lord. Did I really say that? And you know, the Lord won't remind us if our heart's not right. But it's amazing. He wants us to be a part of his answering prayer. And he wants us to know that it's him who answered our prayers. That's why Christians are not lucky. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed. Luck leaves it up to the flipping of a coin. Every good gift comes from God. I didn't have to just trip over that boatload of money or happen to win the lottery. And by the way, talk about flipping coins. I'd rather plant the dollar, I never played it, in the Lord, put it in an offering basket than give it to the state of California. And I know people that do this religiously. Ask and you shall receive. I want you knowing, I want you to have faith to ask me for it. And then I want you to know that according to my word, you're going to receive what you ask for. Does it happen right away? Sometimes. I've had it. I prayed, gone out and got the mail, and the check was in the mail. It was crazy. Just boom. I felt I was really anointed. Then I started asking for a whole lot of other things. Got them on a roll. How about this, or this? He wants us to be a part of the process. And he wants us to know that it was him who answered it. Because he wants us, you ready? He wants us dependent on him. You're in the greatest problem of your spiritual being when you are not believing God for answer to important prayers. He wants us dependent. We want to be independent. We don't want to have anyone controlling our lives. Well, that's a stupid statement because somebody that can control your life, whether you can't even force one more breath. You can't not do what the government says. You can't not do what your boss says if you want to stay employed. You're not independent. But we somehow, and I know people who've got tons of money, they are no more independent than I am. In fact, many of them are bound because he's jealous for us. And we think that being dependent upon God is something that's not right because we're having to put ourselves out there or we're in a problem or we don't want the problem. I don't want to have to go through that. When you're inside, when you're in God's will and you're going through a challenge, there's a reason for it. And we don't like to have problems, situations that are beyond our control. You're not going to be in control anyway. God says, I want you seeking me for everything. Because when you're seeking God, you're not seeking self or seeking the enemy. And he comes in through many, many different ways. Amen? Amen? The next one is acknowledging by faith the anointing that you've been given. I'm going to have the worship team come. Acknowledging by faith the anointing that you've been given. After asking, just like I said, when you're confessing something, when the Bible says that we're to confess our sins, what you're doing is you're not going into a confessional. You could. What you're doing is to confess means to agree. That's all it means. It doesn't mean some kind of repenting kind of thing where you're just broken. It can be a part of that, but it's not what the Bible says. To confess means, Father, Lord, I confess that I did this and I know it's not your will. I know this is, confessing means I agree with God. Now, if you're not confessing your sin, two things happen. You're either stuck on stupid or you don't want to give up that particular problem. But there's something else that we do after we confess the sin. We confess forgiveness. It's a two-part process. I ask God, then I confess by faith that you have forgiven me. That's what it means. Acknowledging by faith that the anointing has been given to you. Father, this day on my way to work, I'm asking you for that anointing that comes to now enable me to do the job right or whatever that might be, and I'm confessing that you have given me that anointing. So whether you get to that office or whatever it is, you know that you are covered by God, anointed in his power, and there's no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I need an amen or I'm going to... Hallelujah. I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be effective in my ministry. And what happens when you by faith lay hold of that, something happens within you. What he does, there's a touch from the Lord. Sometimes it's God bump, sometimes it's just, I just know. Nothing has changed, but everything is different. It's that incredible sense. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. These are the signs. When Jesus says, all right, what's the kind? Give me a description of a disciple. One of the descriptions is that demons are going to be kicked out through your ministry. He could have said you're going to walk on water or you could do all kinds of things. One of the key descriptions of the ministry of a saint of God is that they will impact the powers of hell. And you should expect it. Because Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. And we get the opportunity to encourage him to hell and set the captive free. Amen? Do you got it? Bow with me as we close. Father, thank you. Thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you quicken to us. For many, Lord, these are not new truths, but it is a new season. It's a new season. And we thank you, Father, for that anointing. And we declare it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering as you stand. Amen. Amen. Worship team.
I am, you're a good God.
Hallelujah. That's who he is. He can't help it. That's who he is. And he wants you to know that it's who you are too. Take your neighbor's hand. Let's agree together. Father, thank you again that it's not by power nor by might, but by your spirit. And Lord, even when we're the weakest, that's when we're the strongest. And I pray for my brother and my sister on my right and left. I pray that they come to that place where they are stepping into you and through you into their life and their calling and their destiny. I pray for your peace and for your presence and for your power. Father, we thank you in advance. Let your neighbor's hand go. Lift your hands before the Lord. I release that anointing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that infilling of the Holy Spirit, that literal overflowing. And I declare that you have the peace of Christ for this whole week, that you can walk in the victory where Christ has set you free and no longer be entangled by any yoke of bondage. And in that, Father, we walk in freedom so that we can set the captive free. Now receive the benediction. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. Establish the work of your hands. Yes, establish the work of your hands. I release that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise. Turn around and give somebody, have an awesome week. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our Sunday sermon message. Pastor Babish is available for personal and family counseling. Please click the Counseling tab for more information. Again, we would like to invite you to attend our Sunday service or call our office if you have any questions. May the Lord richly bless you.